You're listening to Action Magazine, the podcast, the weekly download on what's shaping in the future of film, festivals, and the creative voices behind entertainment. I'm your host, Victoria, filmmaker, documentarist, and editor-in-chief of Action Magazine. From solo insights to on-the-ground festival coverage and stories from across the creative world, this podcast keeps you in action. Welcome to episode 18 of Action Magazine, the podcast. In today's episode, we're going to have a conversation with actor and musician Winter Andrews. Let's get to it.
All right. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining this meeting.
Oh, of course. Thanks for having me.
My name is Victoria. I'm the editor-in-chief of Action Magazine, and our magazine gives voice to emerging creatives out there. We try to inspire them, give them voice, share their amazing work. So it's always a pleasure to get to know people's journey and share throughout our social media and our issues. So I would like to begin by asking some basic questions about you. Can you start by talking a little bit about your background, how you started? How did you figure out you wanted to be an artist?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, just quick question, just so I understand. So this is being recorded. Is this going to be put in print, or is this like shared as a podcast?
It's going to be both. That's why I record.
Okay, got it.
I put on audio podcast, and it's going to be on our issue as well, all over social media and all of that.
Okay, great. Well, feel free to edit out my question right there then. But okay, cool. So actually, would you just restate your question then? Sorry.
Yes. So can you begin by telling me how you... all your background, your journey, how did you figure out you wanted to be an artist? What inspired you to become one?
Yeah, so, you know, it started when I was a kid, absolutely. I was a big mimic as a kid, basically, and I just always loved these big characters and these, you know, eccentric, eclectic performances. Like, I think when I really look back at, like, kind of the roles that inspired me the most, it was, they all happened around the same time, and it was like, you know, Johnny Depp is Captain Jack Sparrow and Heath Ledger is the Joker and like Gary Oldman and Fifth Element, which my dad loved and I'd always watch it with him. And like Christoph Waltz and Brad Pitt and Inglourious Basterds, you know, just it was I was never a kid that like grew up like watching Disney or something going, oh, I want to play people in high school. It was like, yeah. Oh, I want to play that twisted dude, what is happening there, you know?
Yeah.
So that's very much kind of how it began for me. And then that eventually turned into me, you know, starting in the theater, like a lot of, you know, I feel like most young actors start there.
Yeah.
So that was, I very much followed the beaten path there. And it's just something that I've continued with ever since. And my love for it has only grown and grown and grown. And to the point where I was like, you know what, I think I do want to pursue this. And I have, and it seems like it's now going well. So it's kind of the brief version.
That's amazing. And you had a career in acting already in film, TV. Can you talk a little bit about some of the projects that you did, some of your favorites, some of the most memorable ones?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, it's funny. I think my Instagram bio is like says something like frequently found playing bad guys and sad guys, which is very true. So I think a lot of the roles I've been able to do in TV and film have been like more villainy, you know, which has been very cool. So I think I'm probably most known for at the moment. Like I was like, I made my TV debut as like the series finale villain for Law and Order Organized Crime and SVU, playing this like very twisted, kind of mentally broken person, you know,
yeah.
whose actions result in the deaths of like hundreds of people. And it was a very cool role to step into. I mean, it was even funny when I got the audition, I was like, it's like kind of it's just like almost a cliche for young actors to be on Law and Order. It's like, it's something you like have to do. It's like a rite of passage. A rite of passage is a more appropriate term, you know, but like, I got the audition for it. It was my first Law and Order audition ever. And, but I finally got it and I was like, oh, Law and Order. Cool. Like I'll get it. Go be like Dead Body Number 4 or something. You know what I mean? And then like, I read the breakdown and I was like, this seems cooler than that. And then I'm like reading through the script. I'm like, this is really sick. Okay. And I auditioned and got it. And it was my first thing on TV, at least. And it was just a really great launching point. And then I've since also done another very violent serial killer in Criminal Minds. I played a guy
Wow.
who calls himself the Brutal Man, if that tells you anything.
Yeah,
And I
that's
think he lived up
awesome.
to it. It's funny when I am on set, a comment I've heard a number of times is like, "Oh my God, you are the scariest person I've seen, and yet you're the nicest person I've worked with." I'm like, that's confusing. But I'm honored, you know?
Yeah, shows that you're a good actor.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Or a good, maybe in life, maybe I am just a twisted psychopath and I'm just really good at hiding it. So I'd say like those were, very fun ones. I'm in a TV show right now called Murdaugh, Death in the Family.
Yes.
So that's airing at the moment. I think episodes 1 through 3 are out at the and I just made my first appearance. I have a very small role in it, but it was I think it was my favorite like acting challenge I've had so far.
Really?
So Murdaugh, Death in the Family is based on it's true crime. It's this really horrible series of events that happened. For those who
Yeah.
don't know about it, if not, look it up. You will find plenty of footage,
Yeah,
documentaries,
plenty,
and
yeah.
things. But so the person I'm playing is a young man named Brian Satterfield, who is he's not part of the main, murders that took place. The main family. He's kind of peripheral to that. In that
Okay.
he's the son of their housekeeper, but you'll see those who know the events, or those who watch the TV show will see it's like that I where this person comes into the story. But all this to say, this is a person who we don't know terribly much about him. He's a real
Yeah.
person, but we do know that, like in the words of his brother, like he has some like developmental disabilities,
Wow. Yeah.
so that was felt very challenging to play in a way. It's like, okay, how do I honor the truth of who this person is,
Definitely.
and the truth of their role in this story? Because if we take that away, it reduces the story, and that this person,
Yeah.
Alec Murdaugh, took advantage of a person like this,
Definitely.
And then if we like overplay it, that's just horrible. You know what I mean? So it was this
Very
very
deep.
yeah. So it was a very interesting fine line to walk that I, the directors and the writers, I think all felt very sensitive to. So even though the role
Yeah.
wasn't like huge, it was like I think that was, like I said, kind of the most satisfying thing as an actor to get to do, to try to step into those shoes and do so like with dignity while telling the story right, you know?
Definitely, I bet it's a big responsibility when you're telling something that happened and representing people. And what was a day on set of that show, for example, when you walk in, what happens, what do you do?
Well, I will say the first day on set for that one was very, very cool for me, because I was, like I said, I knew it was the small role coming in, so it's like I
Yeah.
didn't expect to like go be buddy buddy or hanging out with the main cast, whatever. It's kind of like it's not like they're like gonna treat me poorly, but you just probably won't have much time to interact with them. It's like they'll be in their trailer while you're on set and vice
Yes.
versa. We were shooting Atlanta, and so I pull up like in my car the first day we're shooting, like to the film lot. It's like in a big studio, like you'd see like, in Hollywood or something, but they have some in Atlanta now. And I drive up, and there's like two or three vans in front of me, like pulling into the lot at the same time. And I'm following them and waiting for them to park. It's taking forever. And then the doors open, and out pops the entire cast, like in hair and
Wow.
makeup. It's like there's Patricia Arquette, there's Jason Clark, there's like
Yeah.
Johnny and Will, who are playing the two sons, and like all these other kids from my age who are like in this big boating scene that happened, But it was just
That's
like,
amazing.
yeah, it was just like, oh. Oh shoot! Sorry, I won't swear. That was me censoring myself. Oh shoot! There they are.
Yeah.
But so it was just like it was kind of a surreal moment for
I
me,
bet.
and it's like, okay, cool, wow, this is we're doing the thing. I'm here,
Yeah.
and so I get out of my car, but I'm like not gonna go, like say hi to everybody. No one's met me. That it doesn't. I don't necessarily matter. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to bother them.
Yeah.
But Johnny Birchtold, who plays Paul, he's one of the leads of this. He's kind of the heart of the story, I think. He sees me across the parking lot. We haven't met. He just beelines straight to me. And I'm like,
Wow.
oh, okay, cool. All right. And then he's
That's
like, hi, I'm
amazing.
Johnny. It's so nice to meet you. Welcome to the show. I was like, Wow, like what a lovely way to be greeted on set, you know? Like by like you're basically the lead
Definitely.
coming over and saying, "Hi," like you know, just being warm and welcoming, you know? And
Exactly,
so
as
then
it
he's
should
like,
be.
exactly, you know. You hope. And yet I've
Yeah.
seen there's plenty of times where it's not. So it was just such a pleasant moment. And then he calls me over. He's like, "Dude, come meet the other people." So he like introduces me to like multi I like instantly had friends on set. He takes my number, you know, like we're texting, we're talking, and then like I'm in the makeup chair later that night, like getting ready to go shoot my first
Yeah.
scene, and I get a text from him, and he's like, "Dude, I just told your name to my wife, and she literally gasped." I'm like,
Wow.
"What? Like what? Why? You know, who's your
That's
wife? Why would this
interesting.
happen?" Apparently, she was like the casting director who cast me in Criminal Minds,
Really?
literally. And he's
What a
like,
small
they.
world.
He was like, "I still remember you. Like you blew everyone away. Like they couldn't find the person, and you like came along." But it was just like this. It was like, oh my God! Like there couldn't be a better first day on set. You know, to go to
Yeah.
your question, it was like suddenly I have friends. I'm welcomed by the cast, and it's like, oh, I for the first time in my life, I have a reputation to precede me. You know, so at least in this case, the first day on set was pretty freaking awesome. You
That's
know.
great. Yeah, that's amazing.
Beyond that, here I'm rambling, but like as far as like a more standard day on set, I feel like almost all sets really look the same. That's a
Yeah.
quote I heard from someone, like this longtime actor, and he's like, "It really doesn't matter what you're on; they all function the same way. Different
Exactly.
personalities, but
Yeah.
yeah."
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing all that. Great story.
Sure.
And what led you to go from acting into music? When did you realize that you wanted to do that professionally?
Yeah, so music is something that, like I said, I started as a mimic. Like it was like that. So I was not pursuing music, but I've loved music and acting my entire life, you know.
Yeah.
And I've sang my entire life. I was in like the boys' chorus, and then I was doing like a lot of musical theater because it was like the one kind of outlet and way to do both, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's always been this very huge part of me, but it was not something that I saw as a career. I wasn't trying to be an artist. I wasn't, you know, but eventually while I was in college, like I was, again, singing's always been there, but like I basically picked up the guitar really in college,
Yeah.
and I was very inspired by artists like Jeff Buckley and Matt Corby and Bon Iver and these people, and I felt like I needed to express myself on this instrument too, you know.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that like very privately, and eventually, I was also always a writer too, and so songwriting just kind of came naturally out of that, you know. And then it wasn't something where I was like, oh, I'm gonna again go be an artist or go do something with this necessarily.
Yeah.
But eventually, I kind of accumulated enough songs that seemed to turn people's heads and that people seemed to really respond to. And it's been this very quiet, slow, kind of trepidatious build to where it's like, you know what, maybe I do have something special to offer here that I'd like to. Why not put it in the world, you know?
Yeah,
So that's kind of
definitely.
been that.
And your first music video came out recently for The
Yeah.
Lovers. Can you talk a little bit about that process? How was making your first music video? What inspired you to do that story, those lyrics? Tell me all
Totally.
about it.
So that song was one of the first songs I've written, or I wrote, excuse me. And it's one that was, it was kind of, I wrote it at a time when I was like in a pretty unfulfilling relationship. And so this song kind of came out in like a very quiet, private night that was effectively this fantasy for like a deeper, truer relationship, you
Yeah.
know? And so lyrically, that's kind of what the story is. It's a fantasy more or less that is about like a relationship over a lifetime.
Yeah.
So there's kind of three parts to it. The first part is this like unrequited love and this feeling of not being able, like desiring this person you'll never be able to be with, you know?
Yeah.
And then the next part is actually being with them, kind of like the consummation, this love that you never thought would happen. And then the last part is like, sorry, and before the last part, there's a bridge where it's like kind of aging and the passage of time. And then finally the ending is the very sad part, because I like sad songs. Death, basically, you know.
Yeah.
But it really is just like the idea of a fantasy of this like kind of faded relationship over the course of a lifetime, you know. And so the music video itself, was something where I wanted it to feel kind of timeless, and that it's like you can't quite, anachronistic, I think is the word I'm looking for. It's like you can't quite place where it came from, you
Yeah,
know? It's
that's
like,
true. Yeah.
is this the Renaissance? Is this now? You know, who knows? Like, because that's how I want the song to feel. It's like this could be any historical era, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was that, and so it was very much a indie thing where I got my friends together who are filmmakers,
Yeah.
and you know, one of my dear friends, Emma, who's the actress in that, to you know, we went up to Big Bear and just like found these really pretty spots in the woods, and I found this really pretty Airbnb that felt kind of medieval, for lack of a better word, but also
Yeah,
modern,
very
you know what I mean?
cozy.
You're very cozy.
Yeah.
You know, we set out to capture what we could that felt like it told that story in a succinct way, which was that was my first time like directing something. So for me, it was also very much like, okay, this is a cool music video that I hope will be beautiful, but also I'm very much taking this as an opportunity to kind of like
Yeah.
learn directing on the fly, but in a very low stakes way. Because if you don't get the coverage for something, or like, oh, we missed this moment, it's a music video. Who
Yeah.
cares? You know, like.
No big pressure.
Exactly. Whereas you miss that, I know you're a filmmaker, so, but you know, you
Yeah.
miss that on the day with a scripted scene, and you're screwed.
Yeah,
Like,
there's no turning back. Yeah, it's tough for sure. And how did you manage like taking many hats, like, the song, the writing, the directing, all of that together?
yeah. Well, the song and the, you know, I think it was just piece by piece as it went, you know. So it's like the writing was its own thing years ago, you know. Then the
Yeah.
production was so hard musically. Like this was, ironically, it was such a beast to do. Like it sounds so sparse and intimate, which it is, but it was actually, it took a like 2 years
Wow.
of like incredible tedium with like editing, like the
Yeah.
audio, trying to just like get it to all to feel perfect, you know, while still feeling organic. So that was its own thing, and then it was, like I said, it was just step by step. I do think it was tricky on the day when we were shooting it,
Yeah.
to be in the scene while also trying to call shots. So it was very much a matter of trusting, you know,
Yeah.
our DP and the people we were working with. Her name's Isabel. She's wonderful. So trusting her, you know, I was absolutely open to input from the people I was
Yeah.
working with. It's like the music making process for me has been, I'm working with producers on it, like I have co-producers, but a lot of it has been so isolated and solitary, you know.
Yeah.
And there's not necessarily a lot of availability for feedback, at least at this, because like again, it's been such a private part of my life that I don't have like this huge database or you know, contact list of people where I'm like, hey, I trust you, I trust your opinion.
Yeah.
What can I, you know, what do you think? Whereas like in acting, at least in this case, on set with this music video, the people I around me, I trusted. So it's like, hey, what do you think? How can we make this better? And
Yeah.
it was lovely when they have better ideas than you
Much
do, you
easier.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a very rewarding part of collaboration that like I haven't gotten to experience as a creator. I certainly have as an actor, but I always feel like that's your role is more of an interpreter and to be
Yeah.
like a team player rather than like, hey, let's make a production. Let's make something happen, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's wonderful. And you learn a lot too when you take many hats and make mistakes, you learn
Yes.
from them. It's the best way, in my opinion.
So I completely agree. I'm very much like, okay, do a little bit of research, jump in, do some more research, jump in, you know?
Exactly. You have to go and do it.
Yeah.
And what about your other songs? Where did the inspiration come from them? Are they tied together? Is there a link between them? Can you talk a little bit about the others?
Totally. So the EP itself, it's called Till the Moon Fades Away. It's a 6-song EP. It's my debut. I will say they are absolutely tied together. You know, they're all reflective individual events, or maybe multiple events, but like, so they all have their own, you know, subject, so to speak. But it is very much a, I don't know if I'd call it a concept album, but it's pretty close. You know what I mean? Like, there's kind of characters and motifs, and there's thematic elements. Like, there's
Yeah.
many lyrical motifs that pop up, and like, you know, about fate and the kind of the forces that guide us in these very intimate human moments, you know. And so that's, and kind of like promises and broken promises and like futility and hope in the face of that. And like those you know, you may not listen to it and get have those exact thoughts, but those are kind of some of the things underneath, you know, that are
Okay.
tying it all together. I think certainly anyone who listens to the EP will hear some of the lyrical motifs and listening to it back to back. But so all that to say, yes, they are tied together. And it's kind of a collection of songs that have I've had some of these songs I've had for like probably like 7 years now, but I just had, you know, so it's this very been slow, sorry, it's been a very slow build of collecting them and then getting ready. It's like, what do I actually want to put out together as a collective piece, you know?
Yeah, that's
And
amazing.
I
It makes them very special because you've been working on them for so long and it has your imprint in it. So I think it makes it different from all the other media that we see out there that is just produced so
totally.
fast.
Yeah, that's something that it's funny, I have two feelings about it where it's like on one hand I'm like, oh, I really need to get like on it, like just the singles and like post it on TikTok and like just
Yeah.
see what's popular and then release that week. But at the same time it's like, you know what? I fully expect that this is something that will probably won't take off right now, but it's something that people will discover later on. And I
Yes.
want it to be a piece of, if I were to have a legacy, something that stands up to the test of time, you know, and where you go, whoa, that's a cohesive piece of art, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that ties to my next question. That was, what do you hope people will feel when they listen to your songs, or that they take away from the message of your songs, of your music in
Sure.
general?
It's a good, you know, I haven't actually thought about it in terms of what message do I hope you take away, because these songs are so intimate that it's not, you know, I'm not like, you know, like a lot of like pop or more pop oriented things are basically like, you can do it, we got this, like keep your head up type shit, you know what I mean? I don't mean to make too much fun of those. Those certainly have their place and are valid, but in this case it's more like a diary, you know what I mean? But so I guess they're mostly very sad, you know. There's a lot of angst and pain and regret, but also there's longing and there's yearning. So I think I would say that these songs are like, they're for dreamers, they're for yearners, you know what I mean? And so I think it would basically be that if like this depth of feeling resonates with you and you this makes sense to you, then it's like you're not alone, you know what I mean? I guess would be like the small, like if I were to hear this having not made it, I think I might feel a bit more seen in a way. It might be like, ah, the world makes more sense to me. Okay, there are other people and things like this. My feeling is not unheard or unfounded, you know?
That's
Yeah.
amazing. That's a great message to pass on, especially at this time that we're
Totally.
facing. And what are the first steps that you take when you're writing a song or when you're trying to put, your feelings out there on paper? What do you do? What's your process? What challenges do you face? How do you overcome those?
Totally. I think for me, the process looks the same almost every time, at least when I'm writing music, and that's that I'm pretty much picking up my guitar or my piano and I'm just messing around. Like, occasionally it's like I don't really, I'm really bad about learning songs. It's a very bad habit. Like, anytime I start to learn a song, I almost immediately go, oh, that's cool. And then I start like, you know, iterating on it, and something new comes out, and then immediately I'm like, I hear a melody or something, or I just start singing, and something compelling happens, and now I'm like, the second I start feeling like something compelling might be about to happen, I pull my phone out, and I'm like, okay, load, 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 okay, we're recording, great, great, you know, and then it's like, then I just go, and I don't judge it, and I find that, I mean, truly, like the best things for me seem to happen where I'm just improvising and like kind of the chords, the lyrics, and the melody mostly arrive, I'd say like 80% formed kind of at the same time, just spur of the moment. And then from there, it's a matter of digging through, you know, this voice memo or something, going, is there something there? And I feel like there usually is, but then the question becomes, is there enough there for me to put structure behind this, you know? And then once I have that structure in place, okay, what's the most cohesive part of the song? What am I really saying? What is this really about? Because it's kind of like a diary. It's like I don't really know necessarily what it's about at first, you know, especially like a lot of my songs, if one looks the lyrics, there's like a lot of kind of poetic or obscured language, you know, and that's by design, but it's also just kind of like now that you know where it comes from, it's like it's a reflexive thing in the moment. So I myself have to make sense of it later and go, oh, this is what I'm talking about. Okay, now how do I deliver this piece as a whole? So that becomes a challenge for me is I
Definitely.
had a really compelling moment. Now, can I make it a compelling song?
Yeah, it's definitely a tricky process for you to juggle, but that's very interesting. Especially the whole doing it at the moment that you feel you have inspiration. That's something that can work for artists, for writers, the spur of the moment.
Totally.
Have an idea, just have to put it on paper.
Yeah. I
And
do feel like it's like, oh, go ahead.
no, please, please.
Oh, I'll say, it's funny. I do feel like, so I also like, I do journal every day anyway. Like, I do like my morning pages from the Artist's Way. And like, but I will just say, I feel guilty in the way I write songs, in that like I know how a screenwriter works and I work with them so intimately, and it's like I know for them it's about getting up every day and just writing like in a structured way, whereas what I'm doing is so unstructured that I'm like there might be a better way, but this is just what's working for me, you know? Like
Exactly. Yeah. You have to do what works for you. I think it's the best way for sure. You can't just try a strategy that works for someone else. It might not work for you. So it's
totally.
always different. And what advice would you give to young creatives out there, young musicians that want to write their own songs, don't know where to start?
I would say, first off, just like figure out what you love. Like, I think, and this is true for actors too. It's like, yes, do it, hop in, but also, like, more importantly, I think you need to start by like being inspired by the art itself. Like, I think, and I say that because I feel like I see actors especially. I again, the music world is newer to me, so I feel like I don't have the experience to comment on this necessarily, but I do see it with younger artists in the acting world or who like want to be a songwriter. And it's like, I think maybe you just like fame, or like you just like the idea of, which is totally valid. That's totally cool. But like if that's the case, then like you don't need to be a songwriter necessarily. Like just be an artist and like hire songwriters, hire a producer, hire someone who's making it, and you just go be the face of it, you know? But like if you're trying to make something or you want to be great at something, I think it's like fall in love with that craft, like fall in love with, you know, artists or genre or certain stories, or, you know, study that. Like when I say study, like I don't necessarily mean like start taking elaborate notes, but it's just like look at their lyrics, think about their lyrics, like learning their songs, you know, like oh, that goes so far. It starts to, you know, creep into your neural pathways basically. Like one of my and again, this goes back to acting. Like an acting teacher I work with, who I love, John Rosenfeld. Sorry, John Rosenfeld. He's just absolutely brilliant. Something he often has us do in class, or maybe not often, but like once or twice a year, he's like, if there's like a point of view of like a character or something that like is really difficult for you, what you should do is, he calls it a video project, and it's basically like you imitate a performance like down to the tiniest detail of someone who's nailing it. And it's like, not because you're gonna go imitate that performance in real life, but you start building the pathways towards that, you know? So I think it's the same thing for writing. It's like you just need to be exposing yourself to the world that you want to live in.
Wow, that's very interesting. I never thought of it that way, of watching an actor perform and trying to really mimic that. That makes
Yeah.
total sense for sure. That's
I mean, this is
amazing.
all, everything we're doing is iterative, you know. Every actor I'm learning from has learned their thing from someone else. I mean, even before stuff was being filmed, there were still great stage actors, you know. And like even before Stanislavski and the Method and whatever the hell came along, there were still great actors, and people were learning tricks from them, you know what I mean? So it's like this is very much a tradition.
Exactly.
So you need to like be ingrained in that and immersed in that world.
Exactly. That's amazing advice. And we have so many great examples behind us from the past that we can, mirror ourselves to.
Totally.
Endless examples. So that's great advice. And you've already done so much. You're so young. You've done so much already. And what is happening next? What are your plans, your goals? What are you working on? What can we expect to see?
Well, I just did a movie that I can't talk about quite yet, but I think it's very exciting. It's probably my biggest project yet. There's a couple like bigger names that I'm very excited about getting, that I got to work with. It was very cool for me. So that's coming out. I think beyond that, it's like this in the acting world, there will be more. I think I'm hitting the point in my career where it seems like, okay, I now have momentum and I'm skilled enough to where I don't know how big I'll be necessarily, but I think I'll be working, you know,
That's
for
amazing.
thank you. So I, you know, who knows what's next there, but I have faith that things will come up. On the music side, you know, I feel like this was just the CP, like I said, it's something that like I hope people look back on, but I think it was about establishing a footprint, you know. And so now that that's there, it's like, okay, now I'm excited to like step into that world more fully, you know. I'm also excited to like I've had projects. I'm a writer. I'm a maker, and I've had things like I've started writing or that like I am excited to get to those. I would like to explore directing more, and like I've spent so much time learning about filmmaking, which is not something like you don't study that as an actor. You know, like no,
Don't.
and yeah, and we don't, you know, we don't have like camera angles 101, you know what I mean? And like understanding like that point of view and how the technical side affects things. But I spent a lot of time learning that, and it's like I'm excited to explore directing more.
Definitely. And it's a very
Yeah.
important skill for an actor as well. When I was
Totally.
in film school, we worked a lot with actors. We had a collaborative class directing actors, and it was so fun because they could see our work, we could see their work. It makes
Totally.
so much sense, so much easier on set. So that's definitely great to learn all those skills.
100%. And it's like I think it's so helpful just like to be able to speak each other's language, you know? Like the best directors I've worked with have been ones who, even if they weren't actors, they at least understand, like I feel like they've spent some time in acting class because they're like, I need to understand where your brain is going. You know, I can just tell you be sadder, which is totally appropriate. That's an outcome-oriented thing, but it's like there might be a better way. You know,
Definitely.
and vice versa, it helps me to understand what a director's going for, and that way I'm not just like being a douche, being like, hey, I don't want to do it that way. It's like, oh, I see. Okay, we're dealing with the light this way, so you're trying to get with that. Okay, and the movement. Okay, they're gonna edit this. I see. Yep, I'm game. I see your game plan. I'm in. You
Exactly.
know, yeah.
Exactly. Do you have a social media account can you share with everyone so they can follow your work?
Yeah, I am at It's Winter Andrews on Instagram. I think that's my TikTok too. I haven't been on it in a minute, and I'm about to like be on. Now that I have time, I'm done filming. I can finally like make the little, you know, the things I've been wanting to do on there. But Instagram, I'd say, is the main way to keep up with me.
Perfect. Is there anything else that you would like to share that I might have missed?
No, I feel like that covers it. You know, I feel like if someone's listening to this or reading this magazine, like, you're an artist, and I know times are tough right now in the industry, but all I can say is just keep doing the freaking thing. If you love this, you know, find a way. Don't even say you need to like go be try to be crazy successful at it, but just make stuff. You know, this is your soul. Honor that.
Exactly.
That's
And
what I
we're all
leave
on
off
this
on.
ongoing learning journey together and, supporting each other as artists. And I just love to meet all these amazing people and we push each other up. That's how it should be done.
Absolutely.
That's
Cool. Well, thank
wonderful.
you.
Oh,
Thank you
thank
so
you for
much,
your
Victoria.
time. Yeah, it was a pleasure
Yeah.
meeting you. You have like so great work and I can't wait to see what's next. He's
Thank
here
you.
next movies, your songs. And if you ever need me to talk about any of your projects, let me know. It'd be a pleasure.
Awesome. Victoria, thank you so much. You're lovely.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Action Magazine, the podcast. Keep creating, keep dreaming, and stay in action. Catch you next week.